Well, it's a blessing to be back here at RPTS, and especially to be back here in chapel, gathering around God's Word. And with that in mind, let's turn to God's Word, to the psalm that we just sung from, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. If you're using the Bible here, it's page 602. And as was mentioned, this is this great psalm of repentance in the context of David's sin, committing adultery with Bathsheba, and then flowing from that, him arranging for her husband Uriah's death. And this morning, I'd like us just to read the close of the psalm from verse 18, where David says, or David prays, "Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." And this is God's Word. As I mentioned, this psalm, it's a prayer. It's a prayer of repentance. As you read through it, what you see is petition after petition. David asking God to forgive. "Wash me," he prays. "Purify me, purge me, cleanse me, forgive me." But what's interesting is here at the close of the psalm, David's petition is not a petition for God to forgive. But here is a petition for God to build. Verse 18 we read, "Do good in Zion," or "do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem." He's asking God to build. What's he asking God to build? Well, we read there, the walls of Jerusalem. But he's not asking God to build the literal walls of the city of Jerusalem. He's asking God to build up those who dwell within the walls, or those who are often given the name of the city of Jerusalem. He's asking God to build up his people, of whom David was a part. He's asking God to build his church. "Build us up," he's praying. "Strengthen us in the way. Build me up." That's his cry. It's a good prayer, is it not? A good prayer. Is that not your prayer here at RPTS? That the Lord would build you up through your studies, that he would strengthen you in the way, that you might then be used in the building up of others? Is it not your prayer for the land and for other lands, that the Lord would build up his church, that he would build up the walls of his cause? It's a prayer that we should be praying with David. Because not only is God the one who forgives, David knew well, yes, God is the one who forgives, but he is also the one who builds. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers toil in vain. But friends, here's the question. And really, here's the message this morning. How does God build? How does he build? And with that in mind, I want you to notice the verse that comes before verse 18. Notice what David says in verse 17. He says there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." It's striking. What's striking? Before the building in verse 18, there's a breaking in verse 17. Friends, God breaks in order to build. We need to be broken in order to be built. You need to be broken in order to be built. And in the time that we have, the short time, I simply want to expand on that principle that you need to be broken to be built, and then see the primary way in which the Lord applies that principle in our lives. But go back to the walls for a moment. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. My grandfather was a farmer. He was a gifted man, and one of his gifts on the farm was building dry stone walls. So building walls with stones, no cement, just the stones, fitting them together, almost like Tetris blocks, fitting them together so that they would hold strong in the Scottish winds. And one day, one of these walls had fallen down, and I went with him to build up the wall. And if I had been left to the work, what I would have done is simply taken the stones that had fallen down and built them up again. But he said, no, we first need to take more stones away. There's something wrong with the foundation. So we need to go to the foundation and then build that wall up stronger. He knew that there was a breaking needed for there then to be a building and a strengthening. To put it differently, there's an old word for breaking down or for cutting down. It's the word raise. R-A-Z-E. Like a razor. What do you use to do with a razor? You cut hair with a razor. We see it in Psalm 137. As it speaks to the context of Babylon invading Jerusalem. And the neighbouring people of Edom, rather than helping God's people in their plight, they mocked God's people and they said of the city, raise it, not lift it up, but cut it down. And so the message is that we need to be raised with a Z if we're then to be raised up with an S. And we see that in the surrounding verses here. If you go back, not to verse 17, but if you go back to verse 16, David says to God, you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. And people may say to that, well, that means we don't have to think about the form of our worship. God doesn't care about the form of our worship. No, God does care about how we worship him. He does care about the form of his worship. But the point is that that's not all he cares about. He also cares about the spirit of our worship. He cares about the heart that is behind our worship. As he goes on to say in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. You will not despise. He despises a proud spirit. He despises a proud spirit, that spirit of the Pharisee. He desires a broken spirit. What does that look like, you may ask? What does it look like for me to have a broken spirit, a humble spirit before the Lord? Just read the psalm. Read the psalm. To have a humble and a broken spirit for the Lord is to know our brokenness by nature, is to know our sinfulness and our weakness in and of ourselves. And not just that, it's to cry out in wholehearted dependence upon God, as David does here. In dependence upon God and with faith in God, trusting that he is gracious and he is able to build up and strengthen even the most broken down of walls. Since returning to Scotland, I've been working in a Christian rehab. It's a 10-month program for men struggling with drug and alcohol addiction. And although it's a 10-month program, some men only stay for a day. Some men only stay for a week. Some men just a few months. And when I started working there, the guys who I expected to stay were the guys who left. The guys who I expected to leave were the guys who stayed and were built up and strengthened in the way, families restored to them. And I couldn't figure out the pattern. Was it their age? Was it the drug they were coming off? Was it where they were coming from? No. But eventually I came to see the pattern. You see, the men that stayed, the men who were built up, the men who were strengthened and freed from their addiction, they were the men who came to the place broken. 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 And so ready to be built. And friends, this does not just apply to men in the pit of addiction. It does not just apply to the unbeliever who needs to repent and believe. Although it does apply to them. It also applies to believers. Yes, even seminarians. It applies to us all. You may look out on the church, you may look out on the walls of Jerusalem, you may find yourself asking, why are there so many breaches in the walls of Zion today? Why is there so much division in the church? Why are there so few preachers being raised up, fellow laborers on the walls of Jerusalem? And quite simply, why does it seem at times that there's so little building taking place? Well, as you ask those questions, perhaps we all need to ask another question. Does there first need to be a breaking in order for there to be a building? Do we first need to be raised with a Z in order to be raised up with an S? And if that is so, then surely it must begin with those who are stepping into the pulpits, or with those who are preparing to step into the pulpits. Be honest with yourself this morning. Have you built up walls of pride in your heart? If so, those walls need to be torn down if you're to be built up. Have you built up walls of unbelief? It needs to be torn down. They need to be torn down if we are to be built up. And if we are then to be used in the building up of others, in the building up of God's cause. I asked the question because at seminary I saw those walls in my own heart. And to a point I still see the remnants of those walls in my heart. Am I alone? Am I alone? We need to be broken in order to be built. How does God apply this principle? How does he break in order to build? Well, we know that he's the one who breaks. David says in verse 8, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken, you've brought me to this point of brokenness. But how does he do it? Primarily, he does so by his hand, but more specifically by his voice, and more specifically by the voice of his word. How was David brought to this place? Read the introduction to the psalm, the superscription. It says it's a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him. Nathan the prophet went to him. We could change that and we could say Nathan the prophet going to him was the word of God going to him. A prophet sent from God, so a word sent from God. Nathan described this pride-filled man, a wicked man. David essentially says, oh, how awful was that man. And Nathan's message was, you are the man. You are the man. And we're told that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit. And what happened to David that day is the word that was spoken by Nathan, it pierced his heart. To the point that he came and said, I have sinned against the Lord. In other words, I am the man. I am the man. And in like manner, as we hear the word read and preached, as we study the word, even in seminary, the word itself can cut us to the heart too. But it's not just enough to hear the word read. It's not just enough to hear the word preached or to study the word or to be within the walls of a seminary. In pride, we can resist the word. What we need is for the Spirit of God to apply the word. We need the Spirit who inspired the word to then apply the word to our hearts. And when he does, as he dwells in the hearts of his people, he knows the hearts of his people. So he knows the areas where we need to be challenged and we need to be pierced and we need to be cut. So don't be surprised. Rather, be thankful. Like David, when the Spirit of God takes the word into the recesses of our hearts, to the very point where we need to be pierced, and he pierces with his inspired word. So friends, let's pray for preachers to be raised up. Let's pray for builders in the walls of Zion. Absolutely. Let's pray for the word of God to be upheld in its purity in the land. But let's also pray with David in verse 11. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Yes, pray that the Lord will lead you through your studies. Pray that the Lord will lead you into the ministry. But pray too that he will use you by the work of his Spirit. That he will not take the Spirit from the preaching of his word. That by his word he would break in order to build. And God's able to do so. He's able to use you. He's able to use me by his grace, as he uses his Spirit-inspired word. And what's our confidence in all of this as I close? What's our confidence in all of this? Our confidence in all of this is not found in David. Our confidence in all of this is found in the Son of David, Jesus Christ. What did he come into this earth to do? Is there not a real sense in which he came into this earth to be broken in body and in soul? This is my body, broken for you. My heart, he said, is troubled. It's broken. Yes, he came to be broken, to be raised with his head. But he came to be broken in order for there then to be a building. He was laid in that tomb after being raised with his head on the cross. His skin pierced, his flesh torn on the cross, only to then be raised up with an S. Raised up from the grave so that he might then raise up all who believe in him. As he has said, as they'll be thinking about at the Sprinter Retreat, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So friends, as you look out in the church and you see breaches in the walls of Zion, yes, let's pray, build the walls of Jerusalem. But first, let's pray, Lord, give me a broken and a contrite heart, because this is the Spirit that the Lord desires and the Spirit through which the Lord will indeed build his church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that you are the one who builds up your church. But we praise you too that you're also the one who breaks in order to build. We confess that the breaking can be painful, but we know that it is needed. We are sinful creatures, but you are a gracious, gracious God. And so we pray, even this day, that you would be breaking in order to build, that you would be glorified in this place, and that you would use your servants here to go forth and be a mighty blessing in the Church of Christ. This we pray in the great name of Christ, our Master Builder. Amen. We'll conclude by singing the last two verses of Psalm 51b.